Hey, Hardy, you late today?
I might be a little late, Stinky.
Yeah, you usually get here a little earlier. Don't suppose you have time to buy a copy of Omni?
No, probably not today. I am running late.
New copy's out. Think you're gonna like it?
That's not possible, but thank you anyway. No, I'm running a little late. I gotta get in there. I'll talk to you later.
In the future, there'll be computers the size of your hand.
Oh, Stinky. Man, I am late. I gotta speed it up a little.
Oh, Mr. Hardy, you're late.
Oh, Linda, I know.
Everyone's looking for you. Have a million calls.
Oh, I know. I lost track of time. I was trying to get my cheese stick recipe to come out as little cookies, little cheese cookies. Oh, what time is it? How late am I?
5 minutes late. Lou is having a fit.
Is Mr. Specialer than thou and I here yet? There you are. Where you been?
I'm trying to make my own Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its? Well, I'm overjoyed to meet you face to face. You are all we talk about because you're late. Hurry up and get your headphones on.
Now,
I'm playing a novelty song about Geraldine Ferraro to stall, but I think it's a little dated. So hurry up and think of something to say. We're going on in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Wait.
What?
I don't know what to say.
You don't know what to say? You're Hardy White. You always know what to say. In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Wait.
Don't interrupt.
I have to interrupt. I don't know what to say. I don't know what... I usually have an idea. But, you know, sometimes I feel like maybe I don't have anything to say. Maybe who am I, indeed, that I would... Dean... Is it Dean?
No. Come on. It's 5, 4, 3.
What is it? No, I'd be so presumptuous. Not Dean. That means to, like, stoop. I mean, like, to be... To presume that I would have something to say to people.
Something to say to people. In 5, 4, 3.
No, wait. Now, hang on. I'm just... Think about it for a minute. I mean, who am I? I'm not a doctor or a lawyer or a psychologist or a medium. I'm not a medium who speaks to the dead. I'm not... I'm not a lawyer.
You said lawyer in 5, 2.
I'm not a notary public. I'm not any kind of thing. I'm not a religious figure. I'm not an expert scientist. I'm not a writer. I'm not a poet. I'm not a grocer. I'm not somebody who has retail experience or can tell you how to invest in the future so that when you retire, you'll be able to still travel to places like the Isle of Minnesota. I don't know. I couldn't think of one. But, you know, like an island and have short pants and... Long friends. Now, that doesn't make any sense. But, you know, opposites like that. You have a cold drink and a hot drink, if you want. Spanning the spectrum like that.
Yeah, and you can do all that in 5, 4, 3, 2.
But, wait.
Oh, you're killing me here. We got a show to do, man. Why you have all this self-doubt now? Have it during the week. Then when we go to do the show, just pretend that you can do it. You don't have to really think it. It's all an illusion, man. Just do whatever and then tell people it was great. It doesn't have to be, gold all the time. People don't need gold toasters. Do they? They just need a toaster.
Yeah, but the toaster's got to work.
Not necessarily. It's got to sit there between a big canister of flour... And the toaster oven, which also doesn't work. And they balance out some kind of strange redundancy. You don't end up not using either one of them.
Yeah, unless you want some toast.
And I want some toast, the audio version, in 5, 4, 3. Are you going to interrupt me?
Yes, I am. And I'll tell you why. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to exasperate you. It's just that, and I take it very seriously. That people would lend me their time and their ears and their questions even. You know, people ask me questions, say, Hardy, what should I do? And I have to think for a long time. And sometimes I forget to think. And I just speak. Because I think maybe I already know. You know, it's like I pick up the guitar and I can just play poorly. But I can play something. I play the same thing all the time. But then I pick up the trumpet, and I go to play something, and I can't even play poorly. Well, some would say, yes, you can play poorly, but I'm not even there. I don't even think I'm there yet. I have a minimum standard for poor playing. What you're hearing, to me, I would classify as abysmal, or not playing at all, or not doing it at all. There's also all art has that. No one thinks about that. They say there's a grade system, A to F. But there's subgrades. There's subtleties of failing that you don't always see in the arts. You can't go, that's not good. And then, we have all this music we think is not good, or all this visual art that we think is not good. But some of it is the best not good, and some of it's the worst not good. It's just like a diminishing ever. It's like fractals. You go into any group of thing, and all of a sudden, you're going to find a better or worse. Not the comic strip, but you might find it. Who knows what you find in old fractals. I go into some alternate realities, and the interesting old magazines I find. Like those copies of Omni that I sold to Stinky that he now sells in the newsstand outside of the station. I did that, and I feel responsible because I knew they were old and dated and everything. And I just, every year, I go in the time machine and get them another month's worth, every year. Yes, that's how it works. I have a calendar I keep in my head, and it's wrong. It's often wrong. It's totally wrong, and it has extra months. And so it got off a long time ago. It's like two unsynchronized turn signals. You ever been sitting in line at going turn? You have a turn signal on. The car in front of you has its turn signal on, and they go out of sync. And then you realize that the car in front of you is sort of fading and turning blue. And you go, oh, no, everything's going out of sync, and I'm now going into an alternate universe or reality, a bubble land, sort of a bubble place. And then there's knocking on the window, and it's the police. Because you haven't. It's simply an illusion of being wasted. So, I was here all along. Isn't that interesting? Oh, my friends, I hope that your mind is sound. They are such fragile things, minds.
Are you doing the show?
I believe I feel like I am now.
I didn't count you in.
Go ahead and count me in.
In 5, 4, 3... 2. You're supposed to go.
Oh, I didn't hear 1.
You don't say 1. 1 is silent. It's implied. 1 is like, it's a silent letter, like in French.
What's the silent letter in French?
G.
Okay, you're right. You don't pronounce it.
Or write it.
That's true. I'm not an expert at French, but I'll tell you what, nor radio, as you understand that. And that's why I had my trepidations. I said, do I really want to go on there and pretend I know what I'm doing? I feel like stepping up to this microphone is tantamount to walking into an operating room, taking the scalpel, and say, I'm gonna have a go at it, because I'm a radio doctor. And they go, all right, radio doctor, what do you need? And I say, got any of those sponges? Do you have any of those sponges? Yeah, what do you need wiped? And then we all giggle like that. And so let's get down to the operation. So bring your rag with some curcumin on it or something. I don't know. Iodine. I don't know what I'm doing here in this booth. A lot of times all the buttons and knobs and everything, a lot of them are called POTS for a good reason. Because they're disorienting. You have a little of that potentiometer. You don't know where you are, and you start talking about the universe and how very, very small things. People say that all the time. They say, I'd like to take a lot of that. What is the slang for it now, the kids call it? Neil deGrasse Tyson. Take a lot of that and then talk about science. It's so fascinating. What we know about science now is what we used to call hallucinating ravings of a madman, right? Or a Jules Verne story or something like that. But now we know that reality may indeed, if the math is correct, and you know math, it could be, it turns out that the universe isn't fascinating and interesting at all. It's just we got a plus minus sign wrong. Oh, no, we redid the math and turns out it's dull. In fact, it's not even as interesting as your imagination. Well, that's disappointing. I thought, so it was just the math? Yes, there isn't all this crazy quantum things aren't going on. It was a stupid plus minus sign. We redid the math. Oh, I'm so disappointed. So no Schrodinger's cat or anything? Things aren't happening simultaneously across? No, no, no. No, no, no. It's very ordinary. The universe now we know is like an empty desk in an abandoned room. And with just a hum in the distance of the train. What office was this? Was this someone's office? What is this? Does this belong to a detective? What transpired here before this was abandoned like this? What are we talking about? We're talking about science. And I like to use analogies like that. People say, would you like to write? And I get approached a lot, mainly on the street. People come up to me and they'll say, would you like to write a... They don't know who I am, by the way. I won't point that out. I don't want to sound all puffed up. Would you like to write a science show and then we'll animate it? I go, you realize I'm not a scientist. And they go, I know, isn't that fun? There's too much accuracy is what they're saying. We have all this now, Brian Greene and everything, polluting people's minds with things that are factual or at least they're cutting-edge theory. I said, oh, no. Yeah, and what are we going to call it? Call it the pea brains. I like that because that is something from physics. The fact that you just said that's something from physics and didn't know specifically what makes you the perfect person for our project. Will you be our spokesman? And I said, I will receive. We will kick off. The Cosby effect happens like that. Go back and think of those records. And some of it's stuck way in my mind. I wish I could, I can't get it out. I got a call. Say there's been something terrible happened in my mind. Things have changed. I need the mental equivalent of Service Master to come in here and get the blood and the mold off the walls. Oh, our brains to me, they seem like homes. We use that analogy a lot. Your mind is like a house. What kind of house is it? Do you live in one of them cluster mansions in Atlanta? Where in Atlanta do you live? Do you live in Roswell? Do you? Do you live in Alpharetta? Where in Alpharetta do you live? Do you? Okay. All right. Hey, I'm on the phone. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm distracted. Saying, oh, you're talking to me? No, I'm not. You can't tell now in the modern age. Who is that person talking to? Are they speaking to me? Or are they speaking to someone else? You turn in or tune in. I say turn in because I'm from a different part of mainland. And to the radio show in medias res. That means pantsless. And you won't know whether the person is speaking to another person who's there or to you. Am I Hardy White speaking to you?
Yes.
Now, wait, man, wait.
Oh, I thought you were speaking to me.
That's an example, though. That's an example. I think I was looking at you. Is probably why you thought I was speaking to you.
I did.
But I can look at you and speak, but not be speaking to you.
I get that a lot. People do that a lot to me.
I know, and it's embarrassing if it happens on a train or something. I go, you're looking at me. But a lot of people have a blue ear in their teeth. And they say, oh, I'm speaking to somebody, blah, blah. But it's not you. But they're looking at you. Have you ever noticed?
You ought to be an observational comic.
I know, because I'm making observations that I share with my friends. All a comedian is a funny guy at work who was a theater major and is home writing material every night and going to open mics and working on it and crying a lot. But still doing these shows and then finally getting paying gigs and everything. And then to the point where it can quit that job. You go, that guy just quit the job and became a famous stand-up comedian. Yes, that's exactly how it works. I'd like to say, my life is very different. What do you do? Is this what you do for a living? Well, in a way it is. Because what is living if not really just failing and not getting what you need really repeatedly? Do you get what you need? I do. I'll tell you why. Because I guess, because I'm scamming folks.
Whatever. I don't know
how I do that. I feel like my life, I'm one of them lovable dogs that comes around, starts sniffing for scraps around your house and everything. It's like, oh, guard out here doing a job you don't need done. just because he wants to be with you. And food, so you're not sure which it is. Do you love me, or do you like my pork chops? Could be both. We never know. I'll tell you when we are. If I was super famous or super wealthy, or wealthy famous, or famous for being wealthy, which is the worst, you don't often know who your real friends are. You know? I would, because they'd get on my nerves. I go, those are the real ones. I know the phony ones are trying to please me, so it must be the ones I don't like are my actual friends. Could be. I don't know. But it'd be hard to know. So how do you know who your friends are? Well, I don't know. Loyalty tests, psychological games. You could drug them and then take them to some sort of psyops lab under your mansion. Right? Kind of like the prisoner. But just casual, just for, you know, social purposes. Just so you know who your real friends are. I wish I could have current friends and take them back and do bonding events with them in the past. Say, I wish that y'all were the same folks I was in nursery school with. I wish that we were sitting around a rug. I wish the teachers hand out, I'm going to hand out individual instruments to you. We're going to be a band. And they give you a thing and go, here's something to clack together. Here's something over here. Got something to, here, go clack this together. All right, y'all ready? And we're all going to play music. Stop, please stop. That's awful. But we're all doing it together. See how, oh, just one thing alone is actually tolerable. And then when you try to do it together, it's all out of sync and you got to practice it and everything. And practicing, eventually you get on each other's nerves so badly, but the thing that comes out of it is so beautiful, like a band. And so one person in the band maybe develops a drug habit or something, or they get very angry, and they begin ruining it for everybody. And so can it be like it used to be? Can it be when we all used to play together? When we all used to be together? When we were one heart beating as one? When we had one, I almost said One Direction. I don't want to say that's a band within there. I don't want to say, because, oh, now he's talking about One Direction. I'm not. Bless him, but I'm not. I'm not talking about any specific band. I'm talking about a mythological band called the Shakers. No, the Shakers were a group of people we had. They lived around here, in fact. And they would shake. They say, we are one in them. Do, 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 do. They were great. The Shakers had wonderful hymns and lived in austere but beautiful surroundings and made furniture and stuff like that. But they also had bands. I have to make things up sometimes. Reality doesn't always conform to what I need at any given time. So I create it in my hand, the way a magician just reaches into his pants and pulls something out. What's he pulling out? What has he got there? It's like a dove. Is it a dove? I can't tell because I've turned my head away. I don't want to see. That's how the magician wins. When you say, I don't want to see what he's pulling out of his pants, and you close your eyes, that's when he switches out your phone number with a card or set and says, is this the Ace of Clubs? And you go, no, that is my cell phone number. How did you do that? He does it with misdirection. I have now just misdirected you from probably doing things that you need to do. You probably say, I had to go get some things fixed, get a new roof for the house. The roof came off this morning, and I was supposed to have a roof by this evening. It's supposed to rain. I got caught up listening to Hardy White, as I do sometimes. Now, forgot to get the roof. Let me tell you something about radio and construction. When I was a young man, and I would walk by construction sites, I would hear something coming from the radios of the carpenters and the plasterers, of the other kind of plasterers. What are the big sheetrock guys and the other kind of carpenters, the framers, but also the roofers and everything. And I would hear what was coming from their radio, and it was the sound of a voice. And it was Paul Harvey, like that, Paul Harvey. That's the way he spoke. You say, how could you listen to it? And how long did he speak? Hours? Hours like that. So how could they listen to that? I thought they'd be listening to Nancy Sinatra, something like that, something that you could work to or anything, some pop music. right? Why don't they be listening to the comedian harmonists or something like that when they work? That's what you'd think. But no. Here they're listening to this man talking about. What was he talking about? I don't know. It was somebody's like somebody's old uncle just saying stuff. And I thought, this is for me. I want to do that. I want to go on that radio, and while men and women are working at their jobs, while they're swinging that hammer, while they're putting that rivet in a box or something, where they're boxing rivets at a rivet factory, and they're taking that hammer and they're sealing that lid, or they're putting labels on something you drink, or on jelly or jam, or making rifles, or making guitars at some kind of at a luthier shop, painting the guitars, painting novelty things on them, make it look like it's made of granite or a peanut. And they're listening to the radio, and they're all hearing the same voice, united in their community workmanship by this voice saying, you are a citizen of the world. You are a human being out there making things, doing stuff, or peeling it up, peeling something up off a floor for hours, and then wiping some kind of chemical on it and blowing it with a machine. You might be that. And we all are fragile and our hearts break, and we all pick ourselves up every day and drag ourselves to a job. Some of your job is maybe watching nude people have oil rubbed on their bodies. Good for you. Others are digging ditches. All right? Some of you are making slacks. Some of you are selling those slacks. Some of you might have a slack booth at a fair or a flea market. Say, I'm going to sell these slacks, but I'm going to sell interesting rocks that I've collected too. And I'm going to turn on that radio as I do at the flea market. And from every radio unit, you hear that voice coming out with the same catchphrase. Hardy White's catchphrase where he goes, hey, I forget what I say. Hey, how are you? I'm Hardy White. Welcome. I say welcome. Lots of people say welcome, though. Welcome. I'm Hardy White. You know you're going to do it. I don't say that. I don't have a catchphrase. Most of us don't have a catchphrase. Most of us get up every morning, every day, get ourselves out of bed to go to work without a catchphrase. So there's nothing for people who see us on the subway every day, nothing for them to say, hey, welcome. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, my old catchphrase. You know, when I was a young man, there's a children's show on TV. And the man who did the children's show also did something else on TV. I think he was either a weatherman, but he also had another job. I think he was a funeral director. Because I vaguely remember seeing him at my uncle's wake. I think it's Moppy the Clown. It might be Moppy. He wasn't really a clown. He's one of those clowns that didn't wear makeup. I guess they just call those people. And he wasn't funny. It's a type of clown. The unfunny type of clown. They make those. Oh, there's a variety of everything. You know that. There's different kind of butchers, aren't there? For different kind of meats. There's different kind of cheesemakers for different kind of cheeses. Aren't there? Are there? There are. Are there? There are. You can be a fromagier. Well, that's maybe a seller of cheese or a maker of cheese. I'm just going to talk about cheese now. And I think probably what I should do is get a separate cheese podcast. I don't have to take up a whole show. I can make a little sub-show. Hardy White talks just about cheese. And I couldn't stretch it out for months and months, though. Maybe I could if we got into the minutiae. Come with me. What we'd do is we'd take a cheese and we would just keep dividing it in half until we were down at the atomic level. That's your show about Democritus and science, isn't it? That's your idea, isn't it, Hardy? Democritus the Cheese Cutter is my show. And it's done like a very inexpensive religious propaganda cartoon. I love it. I love the minimum movement. That's me moving my mouth like one of the characters. There's no subtlety. Because there's no subtlety, is there, in our message of unity? Is that what the message is, Hardy? I think it is. I think that we know that we're all united. That's why I'm talking about listening to the radio and all being one and everything. Are you talking about being one? I don't mean literally we're one. I mean, I guess you could mush us all together, but we all look so alike. But you can always have exceptions. That's the amazing thing. You can always say this. This is what I love about the world and everything. First of all, the whole world we live in, the universe. I don't know if you know this. Scientists now know that it is just a big manifestation of a tautology. And what is that tautology? That tautology is this. We don't know anything. And it turns out that that is everything there is. So we don't know everything, but we do know everything. Because that's everything that there is to know. Therefore, see how that doesn't make any sense? Well, that gave birth to an entire universe, because in the realm of possibility of everything and nothing at all exists the infinite. And so we have basically a big white space. That's what it is. It's like in the Matrix before you load it. That's what the universe is right here we're living in. It's just nothing in it. And we can put in whatever we want. What have we put? Well, misery, death, destruction, violence. Oh, all those are already here. I'm sorry it wasn't completely white. You cannot change it yourself, but we can take one small corner of it, can't we? And we can become a mighty decorating company and say, I'm going to improve the feng shui of that one tiny corner over there. I'm going to get a bamboo flute. I'm going to get a jade plant. I'm going to get a little bowl of water. I'm going to get a kitten. Like a stuffed kitten or something like that. I'm going to get a 3D picture of St. Lucy. I'm going to get a big pole. I'm going to lean it against the wall. I'm going to tie the face of Satan on it and then cross it out with an X. I'm going to cover everything with silly string. And I'm going to chant 1,000 times. I'll make this place better with myself. I make this place better with myself. I make this place better with myself. I will make this place better with myself. And you should too. I make this place so much better with myself. I make this place so much better with you two, and we two together make everything better. We make it better with ourselves and ourselves and butter and butter. Oh, I say to you, my friends, go out and do what you can, oh, my friends, you can do it, but you can't, so we'll just do it later. Do it later. You can do it later, probably. That's what I was asked. Ask. Because they won't tell you right away that you can do it later. You got to ask. So I don't want to do it right now. So you can do it later. So I don't think they will let me do it later. Just ask. Oh, you don't know what you can get unless you ask. Ask. You don't know what you can receive unless you ask. Ask others around you for what you need. And sometimes they have it. Isn't that amazing? If you want to do something, maybe you want to change your profession or something. Let's say I want to change my career or have one. It's always good. They say put out intentions. Always tell people you want to do it. Maybe they can help. Maybe in the back of their mind they're saying, hey, Jemimah, no one named Jemimah, but Jemimah, I think he said something about he wanted to work with wrought iron. I just met a fella who works as a wrought iron company. Met him at the bar last night, and he says he's looking for young fellas who want to do apprenticeships. Jemimah. Hey, man. Hey, I was just thinking of you. Did I wake you up? Yeah. All right, well, listen, you were talking the other day about wanting to work with wrought iron. Well, I was at a bar last night, and I met a guy who has a wrought iron business. Yeah, I got his number for you, so I think I could hook you up. Yeah. So I know that you wanted to get out and didn't want you to do what you were doing anymore. I don't know what, cleaning bathrooms. you're cleaning bathrooms, this would probably involve cleaning bathrooms too. But it would get you that much closer to what you really want to do, was learn that skill of wrought iron making so you can make gates in front of houses and potentially get your ultimate job, which was making a big ornate gate with skulls and everything like that on it for a haunted mansion. That's really what you want to do. You got to know in your heart what your goal is. Say, I'm going to set out to this day. And I'm going to make a sign. And I'm going to put it out in front of my house. And you know what it says? It says, free thought. And people come up to you and they'll say, I'll take one. And you go, no, no, no. I'm not giving out free thoughts. And then you say, wait, hang on now. Would you be willing to pay for a free thought? And they go, well, how much? And that's when you start free thinking. And you go, maybe my thoughts are valuable. And as long as they don't notice that sign that says they're free, I can start charging for them like $30 hot dogs or something. Is it unethical? I don't know. I don't know if you know you have your own thoughts, but I'll be happy to sell you mine. Maybe you're doing something that keeps you busy, too busy to make your own thoughts. And so you come to my house and you say, Hardy, you been making any fresh thoughts? And I go, I have to, because I got this big vat of starter thought, and it was passed down to me. And what we do is we take it, and that makes my, we say sour thoughts, but they're not. Some of them are pleasant and sweet. And I make fresh thoughts every day. And you could make them too if I gave you some of this sour thought starter. Are you you're making a bread analogy? Could be. Could be, or jam. You make jam with a starter? Yeah, I got a raspberry that's been in my family for 100 years. And I put a little bit of it in every raspberry jam I make. That's why it's so poisonous. The best poisons take hundreds of years to really mature. I have a fella, and he's a Chinese wizard, and he's only partially alive in this universe, and so he's kind of misty, right? So there's funny things happening all the time. So I will hand him a bowl of something, like tiny little skulls, little monkey skulls, and it drops right through his hand, because there's no substance to him. But so much information, what a font of information he is. And he was telling me, if you really want to change the world, Hardy, you get on that magic box, and you get on there with, hey, what instrument do you play? He said, and I said, I play the maraca, the single maraca. A lot of people do a double maraca. It's like a difference between a camel and a dromedary. And what's the difference? One. And so I have this maraca, the one that goes like this, not the one that goes, see, I can't even hardly make it with this one. And why do you do that? Because I know how time passes. I saw a lot of mystical magic men, of which I am not one. Okay, I'm an ordinary man. I'm not a witch doctor or what do you call them now? Something else. I'm not one. I'm not any kind of doctor. I don't have any knowledge. I'm not a shaman. I guess this is what I was looking for, a shaman. I thought that was one of them cloths you... That's chamois. I tell you, my brain doesn't work the way it used to. How did it used to work? On a little 9-volt in it. Now you just plug it into the computer. That's how it works. You're not shaking any rhythm. What are you doing? I'm sorry I got off. I kind of got excited. I didn't feel like doing a rhythm anymore. I just wanted to wave it back and forth like that. Yeah, but you weren't keeping time. Oh, is it my job to keep time? Am I time's keeper? Am I? Or am I a keeper of hearts? Or am I a keeper, do I keep hearts in the back of my watch? Where you normally keep a photo of your loved one. Do I keep a small beating heart to remind me that we all got feelings? And then I take that watch and I put it back in my... You are something wrong with you, Hardy White. I'm just embellishing. I figure the basic me is just not worth talking about. So I make up a fancy one and I bring that to you. I'm sorry I've lied to you. I haven't tried to deceive you. I just tried to bring you something with bows and bells and whistles on it, with rings and strings and painted up on it, and so you have ruined it by painting it. You think authenticity is what's best. It's like when the Antiques Roadshow, when somebody brings on an old piece of furniture, say, look, my grandpappy painted it. He ruined it. Grandpappy wasn't trying to ruin it. He was trying to freshen it up. He was trying to make that chair more exciting for you. He did not see that all that wear and tear was somehow precious. He didn't want you to think it was an old chair. He wasn't trying to impress you that it was an antique. He wanted to impress you that it was something he cared about and was paying attention to enough to put a new coat of paint on it. Oh, I'm not telling you to paint your antiques. Hardy told me to paint my antiques because it was somehow bourgeois to let them show wear. Perhaps it is, but look, I'm not, that, it's not for me to say.
Why don't you take a question?
Should I take a question?
You should take a question.
Well, you know about earlier in the show how I was feeling maybe that I wasn't qualified to.
Just go ahead and take one, see how it goes.
All right. It's a friendly one, too. It's from Chris T.
All right, let's listen.
Hey, Hardy, this is Chris T. from Aerial View, Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. right here on WFMU. I have a question for you, and it regards childhood. And before I give the question, let me give you an example of the kind of thing I'm talking about. I grew up in a little town called Lyndhurst on the south shore of Long Island. And when I say South Shore, we were like three or four blocks from the Great South Bay. And the house that sat right at the end of my block, right on the bay, was the house of the Aquafridas. That was their family name. And I became friendly with Michael Aquafrida, who was my age. And we went to elementary school together.
Hey, should I look up that name to make sure it's not a curse word in another language?
That's probably a good thing to do.
A strange cat, Michael Aquafrida. I don't know how to explain this. I mean, I there was a lot of rumors that his family was involved somehow in organized crime.
How do you think you spell it?
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I went to his house often enough. It didn't look that way to me, despite the fact that they lived in this decent house.
AQ.
Right there on
AQ,
the water.
I don't know.
Back then, you didn't have to be incredibly wealthy to live on the water. And they were, like a lot of people on Long Island, into boating and going out on the bay and...
Are you listening, man?
I'm listening.
On the water.
You look like you're doing a puzzle.
I'm listening and doing a puzzle.
First of all, he was covered with a lot of scar tissue. The story was that he was helping his father...
Shouldn't you be taking notes or something?
I'm listening.
...this vehicle, and it wasn't starting, and so they dumped a lot of starting fluid into the carburetor. And
is he going to get to the question?
I assume he gets to the question, yes, at the end. But this, he's got to set it up.
Shot out and engulfed Michael. And he...
man, it's sounding
burned. And
crazy.
His father quickly grabbed him and ran him inside the house and shoved him under the shower.
What are you going to want for lunch?
I mean, he told me the story himself, and I still can't believe it. According to him,
barbecue.
They didn't seek any medical attention for what turned out to be pretty severe burns. He was
no salad.
You know, I think it was like memory serves, the right side of his face, onto his neck, down onto his
right
shoulder, was all scar tissue. And I mean, it wasn't like the kind where you're like, oh, my God, you would see him and go, oh, my God, what happened to you? It was the kind where you would see him and go,
you are not listening at all. I'm looking right at you. You're doing something now. You're on the phone.
I'm not on the phone. I'm listening to Chris's question.
And I guess it made him a little bit of a weird kid in a way.
I developed a way of listening to somebody and doing other stuff at the same time. I can double duty. Not double duty. What do you call it?
He would act like
you can't even think of it.
Multitask. I can think of it.
Always trying to make people laugh.
I can multitask. He said laugh and burn and everything. It's going to have something to do with that.
Shooting food out his nose.
I'm just going to be making up the answer anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Girls would find disgusting, and all the guys thought was hilarious. And because all I had to do was ride my bike to the end of his block.
His voice will go up when it's a question.
I guess so, yeah. And then I'll say something.
You know, that first time you go over to a friend's house and you're like, hey, why don't you sleep over, when you're kids and you just don't know what to expect, and it's just so different from your house and your bed and
oh, it's scaring
everything
me.
You know, and as far as I was concerned, these people Their food tasted weird.
Everybody's house smells like pork chops to me.
Weird. The smell of the house was just, everything was
house smells
kind of off. And I remember thinking at one point, you know, I don't know if I want to be friends with Michael Akinfrida anymore. And I
bring my own spray. Your own spray?
Was so
I carry my own Glade.
And he was always in trouble in school. He's the first kid I ever
smells are important.
With. I remember clearly going behind the E.W. Bauer Elementary School on Montauk Highway with him. And I.
What if he asked a question and we missed it? We could have been talking over it.
Or some combination of, why did so many cigarette names start with a K?
Is he here?
That I don't get.
No, he's not here. It's a tape.
Kent's
all right.
Schools.
We could conceivably go back and listen to it.
But he was.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I
don't have time for it.
That. I would get in trouble all the time. He was a kid, the kind of kid that sought out trouble or trouble found him. I don't know what you want to call it. But my question has to do with this.
Oh, is a question.
The thing that happened.
I heard it.
One time, because I remember thinking clearly, I don't know if I want to be friends with him anymore. I don't know if I want to hang out with him anymore. But
he's going to say it soon, I think.
Right,
so. Could you
that we were gonna go
get ready? I'm
going to
get ready.
House. And it was at the other end of our block. The block,
should I put on a hat or something? I feel like I should be wearing a hat or doing something different or special.
No,
you look fine, man.
Sorry, not Wellwood Avenue. That was a different street. Wellwood Avenue was a different street.
I should get a question answering hat.
Road to the locals. So
no, you're fine.
Corner, directly across from the Southside Fish and Clam was this big old,
you know, there's two philosophies in religion. You know, sometimes people need to hear something from somebody in fancy clothes, a fancy hat, something that gives you a sense of majesty, something impressive. And other people like things, you know, made ordinary, just delivered in an ordinary suit or something like that.
So you could go out and
go with the ordinary.
I mean,
I'm going to go with, I'll go with the ordinary.
The tallest building around. Pardon me. And,
could we get that? Could we edit that out?
We
could. I could get that edited out.
Haunted.
Do we have a cough program? Yeah, we got cough. It's called cough with a K. Yeah, what's it do? It goes in. It looks for all the coughs and takes them out.
This is why I got the roads confused because it was.
It can take out logic errors too. Oh, we ought to use it for that. You wouldn't have a show. You could probably set it to illogic.
He was some.
Yeah, no.
Hot shot. I don't know if he was the local brewer or what the hell he
man,
was.
Man, I tell you what, I hope he didn't say the question already.
You could still find pictures of it online. And, I mean, it looked like...
Well, we have to know this for the test.
Psycho,
oh, that's a good one.
Adam's Family, or you name it. It was this classic-looking Victorian house that had gone to seed. So all the siding was all gray.
Oh, he's talking about an old house now, though. Yeah, just like we were with the wrought iron.
There's never anybody there.
That's
weird. It was like abandoned property.
Isn't that strange?
Nowadays, a town like the one I grew up in.
I hadn't heard this yet, had you?
No, man, that's spooky.
Maybe there's only so many things to talk about on the radio.
That could be. That's it.
That is it.
It's something I would have really appreciated now. But back then, we were just stupid kids on a summer afternoon and off from school.
You know what this reminds me of? What? Working construction. It is like working construction, isn't it? You got the radio on in the background. Somebody's talking about something, talk radio, and you and I are sitting here talking about what kind of sandwich we got.
Yeah, or like whether we should put a nail in this board.
Put a nail in that board. I'm going to nail it. Go put the nail in that board there.
I'm going to do it. You watch me.
Go ahead. I know you're going to do it. I'm going to hit that nail. I hit it.
So during the day, you could go in there. And we wanted to go in there when there was nobody else in there. We didn't want to.
Where's the kid instruments?
I got them right here.
Like, hey, what are you doing here?
Let's pretend we're hammering.
Hard time. So. And this one particular sunny day, we decide to go in there.
Making stuff, making a house.
And again, this is all from memory because we didn't have
you all right?
cameras on our phones. We didn't have phones.
Something blew up in my face, dust or something from
my
the construction.
My mother owned a brownie. That was about it. But we went into Wellwood House.
What part are you working on?
Bathroom.
And it really was in a state of disrepair. It was like just...
You got a bathroom hammer?
I got the bathroom hammer.
It was crumbling. If there was any furniture, it was all smashed. There was graffiti on the wall.
You know, we all try
not a place that
beating
was
in
for anybody to be
rhythm
in
with one another.
Of our age.
Yeah, let's do that.
Point, I was probably, I want to say like 11, maybe 12. I don't even know if I was 13 yet.
Yeah.
And
Now, Elmo, you do it.
Little time exploring every room.
That's how they do it on Sesame Street.
We could take with us that, you know, something to take back home as a souvenir, and there really wasn't anything.
Like Stomp.
But,
it is like Stomp.
The stairs. We're like, okay, well, let's go up to the next level. And, all right, you know, now we've covered the second floor. We've gone in and out.
Oh, my word.
Let's go up to the third floor. Let's see what's up there. And of course, the ultimate goal is the Widow's Walk. Let's go up to the Widow's Walk and see if we could see out to the bay and see what's going on out there.
I've lost complete track of what he's talking about.
Cool. I have, too.
And so we get up to the Widow's Walk.
There's the burned-up fella.
And we're looking around. I'm like, okay, now we've been there. It seems like a couple of hours now. We've just thoroughly explored every corner of this place.
Oh, man, what are we going to do?
I'm just getting very creepy vibes and just feeling like,
you should say yes.
Maybe we
like
should
that.
Get out of here before we get caught.
Or how about this?
I remember
no.
At one point I turned to Mike.
Don't
and I
be
go,
too
okay,
stern.
Well, like, let's get out of here.
No.
Let's go.
No.
And at this point we're like, okay, well, where's the dog? Like, let's we got to gather up Lucky because we have to get out of here, right? So we go looking for.
Why don't I think of a number and then you try to guess what number I'm thinking of?
611.
Come here,
oh man.
Lucky.
Dude, let's do another thing. Let's have it a color.
Lucky.
Yellow.
And there's no Lucky. You know, there's no.
Because we have the same brain is the problem.
Anywhere.
Yep.
And
but that won't work.
Yeah, what happened? What did the dog, run out? Because it wasn't, it wasn't like a big deal to go in and out of this house.
Had the cookies so come out?
Looking,
what do you mean?
And
the Jesus that you were making. Did you get any
to
come out?
And I look
I did. Some of them tasted kind
of
like they're a little puffy, though, you know? They came out puffier than.
The dog is standing.
Jesus, I guess, a crispier.
Like, and it's very.
Well, why,
it's
why are you making your own?
I don't know. It's just one of those things, you know, you're bored and everything, and you think, I'm going to make my own Cheez-Its or I'll make my own pretzels. You ever done that?
No. I just go and buy some.
Yeah, I just try making your own sometime.
The dog was pretty much. Like almost in the gutter of the roof.
And I made cookies.
And
cookies are good.
And not in a very good state. You could tell it was.
Yeah, try making your own sandwich cookies.
I'm looking around and I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, that's a good challenge.
Out on that roof.
Try it.
I mean, there was no clear way that it could have gotten out there. I mean, why would it go out there? Dogs are not cats.
Is this still part of the question?
I honestly don't know. Now I feel like we're on. It's like I feel like maybe we got on the wrong train. You know, and you know, I feel embarrassed to ask the conductor. Is this the wrong? Am I going the wrong way? Because we've been on it so long now.
Just stay on it. Let's just stay. Stick with it. Stick with it.
That this dog could have gotten out on this roof. And there's just nothing. There's no way.
The problem is, when I start listening to it, I think of other things, and then I start telling you, and then when I'm talking to you, I can't hear it anymore, and so I lose track of what I'm listening to. You on that roller coaster with me?
I am. I'm finding it hard to concentrate.
We're going to be in so much trouble. And I turned to my.
I should have just been quiet and listened to it. I can't talk over something. To call the crosstalk is driving me crazy.
I have to believe him because he looked like. As scared as I did. No, I didn't put the dog. Why would I put Lucky out on the roof? And I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't know what else to do here.
He's
what,
telling
what
a story.
Do?
If we had heard it the whole time, I bet it'd be riveting.
I know. We shouldn't have talked over it. I know.
It's not like we can open up a window. And
the closer he gets to the end, the more nervous I'm getting.
There's no windows nearby. You know, in my memory, the windows were on the other side of this pitched roof. And if the dog had gone out one of those windows, it would have
knock,
ended
knock.
Up on the
who's there?
Front side of the roof.
I don't know. I can't concentrate because this guy's talking.
How it got out there, and finally, I one of us said, "Hey, we got to call the fire department. There's no other way." I mean,
I'm not a big joke teller.
And I don't even
me
know
neither.
What
I can't
that.
Remember
we
jokes.
We just have to go find an adult.
I mean, I tell a funny story, but I can't really tell a joke.
Somebody, and
it's a memory thing.
I wish I could remember.
I remember that I laughed at things.
I didn't write
down
like I started doing years
I remember
later.
That.
Years later, I started writing stuff down when I got home so I could remember it, but I didn't write down.
You know what this is like?
Well, what's
is,
it like? It's like free jazz.
Find somebody who
how
contacted
so?
The fire department.
I don't know.
And before long, the fire department was there. And
I'm like a tenor sax.
You know, local people
all right.
were like, drawn by the sirens, wondering what the hell's going
on. I am a tenor sax.
Starts showing up, and now
I'm a tenor sax.
Okay. okay? Because
that's very good.
The only way.
Thanks, I got range.
Getting this dog off of the roof, you know, and so
the voice, the human voice, is like an instrument.
It is. You're not the first to say that.
Up on the ladder, gets the dog who's still trembling and shaking and doesn't know.
Yours is like a kazoo or something.
Oh, thanks a lot, man.
And
no, it is.
And you know, we got a severe talking to. Is all I can say. I mean, I got yelled at by my mother. I'm sure Michael got yelled at by his parents.
Do you remember the beginning of the question?
A little bit.
Yelling about what the hell were you doing in there? You weren't. You know, you're not supposed to go in there. Which one of you put?
If the beginning of the question was I was driving a bus or you were driving a bus, and he asks at the end who was driving the bus,
we were not together. I was.
Well, which one was it? You or him?
Off in another room.
Oh man, I don't know.
And I didn't have my eyes on him the whole time. And who knows? Maybe this is the kind of weird prank that he wanted to pull to get attention. I mean, I know he did stuff like that, but I.
Is there a way you can do something in post production that just you make it all make sense, or make it?
I can speed it up.
And I.
Will people understand the question?
I don't know. People don't understand the show in general.
I agree.
Any unexplained mysteries?
This might be experimental.
It might be. We might be experimenting. Do people want to watch our experiments?
I don't believe.
If they're donating money to the lab, they do.
I know. They want to make sure that you're not, you know, inhaling the sulfur.
I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in goblins. I don't believe in paranormal things.
It might be getting to the end.
I really haven't. But to me, when I think about this, the only thing I can ask myself is how did that dog get on that roof? Thank you, and I'll take my answer off the air.
What? What was the question?
I don't know. I missed it. You were talking over it.
No, I totally was not. He said, I'll take my answer off the air. Well, he was not. Was he calling in?
He might have been.
Oh, did he hear us saying all that? Oh, I'm mortified. Chris, I'm sorry. You were probably wondering what all that... Oh, because I told you to turn down your radio, too. Oh, I'm so sorry. He was calling in. Listen. Disregard. Don't listen to this show. Okay? A recording of it, I mean. Don't go back and listen to the archives, Chris. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, we can never get back some memories. They're just more pure and blessed. Just the first time through, the wrong version. You know what I'm saying? You saw what they happened when they went back and remade the Candy Wonka story and everything. It's like, what's going on? I like the old one better that was shot in somebody's garage. Doesn't have to be perfect for something to do the job, does it? You know, a flashy version might not be that great. I've listened to somebody play symphonies on just an old guitar with a cassette player strapped to it and the tape of a symphony in it. And I've heard people play fancy guitars without any accompaniment. I don't, can't decide which I like better. But I tell you what, it's the musician and not the tape recorder that really communicates the beauty. What beauty are you communicating, friends? What are you putting out there in the world? What are you giving? What construction are you working on now? It doesn't have to be literal. When you're listening to Hardy White and you're thinking, I can't wait to get out of here before I strangle somebody, what are you doing? What are you doing? And what do you do when you go home? Oh, you don't have to do anything. Blessed souls. Oh, nothing's required of you unless you want to. You all that pressure to accomplish things. We are living in a rushing river and not anything. Actually, nothing can be accomplished, really. So if you just want to live in the river and let the water carry you, oh, you can do that. Or you can build a boat. You can build a coracle. You can build a coracle out of your dreams. You just need some coracle material. And I will be selling those kits at my course when you sign up for that. So, Hardy, really? You going to have a course? Yes, we're getting it organized now. We're going to have it's called a stationary cruise because it's not on a boat. But we're going to go to a resort. And we're all going to have activities there, and there'll be workshops, and you'll come, and I'll talk for a while about things, like how to make things, how to add, like, wax to a string and make wax string. things like that that you can use. I will have various cooking classes and all that. How to balance on things. Balance on a chair, or balance on a stool, or balance on an ottoman, or balance on a divan, or balance on something like that, or a balance beam or a ball. Those are all separate classes. So there's probably 20, 25 balance classes that you can take. We are going to have t-shirts all made up that say, Hardy White, yes, I'm with him in a group setting that we're doing something together as an activity. All that's on the front, and on the back it says your name, and we'll all have nicknames because you don't have to be yourself here. Say, oh, I want to be Weeblow. Weeblow's a fine nickname. That's a good one. We're going to get many conversations started. People say, hey, I was in the Weeblows, and you're Weeblow, therefore, I say, hey, cut that out now. But it's going to have fun. Just a fun way to break the ice and meet people. You don't want to do that when you're ice skating. You know, keep it intact. Then everybody should be chilly and distant and aloof. But if you're somewhere where ice breaking is absolutely okay, you go ahead and do it. You take that pick and you drive it through that ice and say, I'm going to erase that chill so that two human beings can come together. I'm going to start exuding some warmth and melt down those barriers that keep us from one another, that keep our hearts from coming together and from fusing together. That's how hot they are. The human heart is so hot that when it touches another heart, it can fuse with it like that and make a super heart. Oh, I want to make a super heart with you. I want our hearts to come together like some kind of atoms that are attract. I'm not going to get into this kind of bonds and everything, but I want that to, I want us to form some kind of huge connected molecule of, it doesn't have to be love. I was going to say love, but something cooler than that. Coolness. I don't know. I'm just so glad that you're with me. If you are, I don't want to turn around. I'm afraid you've left. That's something I want to just imagine that you're still there. Sometimes we do that in life when we lose people. I'm not going to turn around. I don't want to turn around because Papa might not be there. But I feel like he's with me. I feel like he's behind me. I don't need to turn around and prove it. I know he's there. I know that you're there. I know that you're behind me, friend. I don't need to turn around and prove it to myself because I know it in my heart. And you will always be there, and I'll be there behind you with a fresh t-shirt in a different size. Because, you know, I'll tell you what, you start working out at a lot of these sessions that we have on the stationary cruise, and you say, I won't get that shirt, but in a medium, because I want to start showing off my body a little bit. That's all right, too. That's okay. Oh, bless you so much. Oh, friends, I'll reach out to you and invite you to be my friend. And I hope you say friend, friend, friend. I'll be yours too. Oh, I got just enough time to start the show.
Now, we've done this before where we start the show at the end.
We have. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead. Let's go ahead and start the show at the end. You have been listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I was Hardy White. Thank you very much for joining me and my friends and listening on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9 in blessed Rockland County. I'm so glad that you join me every week, friends, and I hope you've enjoyed yourself and maybe learned a little something and then forgotten it so I can teach it to you again next week. My friends, thank you for tuning in, and I will see you again in the future. Lost somehow.
Mentioned that
yes.
Services every night at 7:30.
Oh, yes.
And then we're having 2 day services. That's on Friday and then on Saturday.
Amen.
At 12 noon on Friday and at 10 a.m. Saturday morning.
Amen.
And then we're having those special services for the children, you know, as God give me to minister to the children. And then we're having that job service, which is on Friday night. You that need a job, or you that are anticipating, you don't know what to do, whether to stay on your job where you are or whether to look for a better job. The Lord gives me to tell people things through the gift of knowledge. Yes, beloved, through the gift of knowledge, I see things. I see it through the eyes of God. I do not apologize. I am a prophet. I was born like this. No, I don't look through no crystal ball. I'm not a reader because you are not a book. I don't read people. You read books. So you get there. God, show me things. I see through the eyes of God. God drops things into my spirit through the gift of knowledge. And I tell you what God shows me. Get there. You will be astonished. You will be amazed how God uses me as an instrument. Now, that's tonight at 7:30. And then on Friday at 12 high noon. And then Friday night is that special job service. And then on Saturday, we're holding that children's service. I'll tell you what your child will grow up to be. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you if you should send your child to college.